Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. I heard a friend of mine tell this story recently, and I thought about it when I began to prepare for today. It's the story of a young boy named Walter Elias. He was born in the city, but one day his parents, out of the clear blue, told him they were moving out to the country to become farmers. Now, Walter had a vivid imagination, and the farm was the perfect place for a young boy with a wondering and wandering mind. One day, he was sitting in their apple orchard, and he was amazed when he saw sitting on a branch of one of those apple trees an owl. He just stood there and stared at the owl and was first amazed at just how big the bird was. And he thought about what his father had told him, that owls always rested during the day because they hunted at night. This owl, during the day, was asleep. So Walter thought this owl would make a great pet. So, being careful not to make any noises, he stepped over sticks and leaves, and the owl was in a deep sleep because it never... And then finally, standing under the owl, he reached up and grabbed the owl by the legs. Now, the events that followed are difficult to explain. Suddenly, everything was in utter chaos. The owl came to life. Walter's thoughts about keeping the bird as a pet were quickly forgotten. The air filled with wings and feathers and screaming. And in the excitement, Walter held the legs tighter. But in his panic and terror, Walter Elias, still holding onto the owl, somehow threw it to the ground and, in a reactive impulse, stomped the innocent animal to death. Now, after things calmed down, Walter looked at the now dead and bloody bird, and he began to cry. He didn't mean to hurt the animal. Things just got out of control. He ran back to the farm, he got a shovel, and he buried the owl in the orchard right under the tree where he'd first seen it. At night, he would dream of that owl. And as the years passed, he never got over what happened that summer day. Deep down, that story affected him for the rest of his life. As an older man, he said he'd never, ever killed anything again. Can you see what's happening in the story? Something significant happened during that event and after that event. Something that Walter didn't miss. Something which transformed Walter Elias. Something that redeemed him from the pit of despair. Something that resurrected him. Something that made Walter Elias Disney give life to thousands of animals on the big screen for over 50 years. I love that story. I don't know that it has anything to do with any of the lectionary readings this morning, but I don't really care because I've told you I'm tired of bread. But what I do know is this story has everything to do with what brings us together today. Because whether we realize it or not, all of us have stories like that in our lives. Now, maybe we didn't go on to create the Disney empire, and if you did, I've got another pledge card for you. But they are still stories that affect us. They are stories that affect us for the rest of our lives. They are moments and events of formation, of transformation, of redemption, of purpose. And in a very real way, they are stories about becoming. Becoming who God calls us to be. And maybe that's why I thought of this story on this day as we kick off a new program year and a new school year. Because it is in this wonderful place where I know for a fact that stories are being made and told every single day that form and transform and redeem and give purpose to those who gather here and to those we serve. Now, in my line of work, I get to see a lot of those stories. Sometimes I even get to be a part of some of those stories. But one that stands out to me was something that happened several years ago before I came here in my other parish. It was rally day, just like today. And we were doing so many of the same things that we're doing here today, even the water slide. And among that, the visitors that day was a mother and her three young daughters. I learned later that the mother had just gone through a nasty divorce and in many ways was broken from that process. She and her daughters, I think, were just looking for a way to begin again, looking perhaps for a place to belong. Now, the two youngest girls were twins, Faith and Hope, no less, who I guess were about 6 years of age. And I knew from that first day, that rally day, that at least Faith and Hope had found a home because they were fascinated by everything. They seemed enthralled by the liturgy. They jumped headfirst into all the children's activities. And I guess their mother saw it too, because the family became regular attendees and eventually members at St. Luke's. And over the weeks and months that followed, their enthusiasm was contagious, especially the girls, the twins, participation in the liturgy itself. You see, when we get to the part of the Eucharist where we'll stand and all say together the Lord's Prayer, you could hear their little voices above everyone else. It's as if they were yelling the Lord's Prayer. It was wonderful. I wish we could all say the Lord's Prayer with the enthusiasm and joy that Faith and Hope did. But the best part of all was they didn't really have the words down at first. The prayer would start and you would hear their little voices. Our Father, who art in heaven, I know you know my name. But isn't that wonderful? I know you know my name. Now, it didn't last long. Someone, probably their mother, corrected them. But I never did. Because deep down inside, I believe they understood the Lord's Prayer better than most of us. And those little girls are in college now, both on full-ride scholarships, and we simply don't have the time for me to tell you all the things that they've accomplished. And I got to believe it started because of a day like today. You know, we don't go to all this hoopla today just to have fun and fellowship, although we are going to have great fun and fellowship afterwards. But we do it to renew ourselves, to start a new program year, to wipe away the cobwebs from our summer sabbaticals, and that's a good thing. But the even better thing is that in the process, stories will be created. Stories that matter. Stories that give meaning and identity. Stories that help us make sense out of our lives. Stories that help us to determine our values. And perhaps most importantly, stories that connect us to one another. Because it's a story of something that happens. Maybe it's a story of something that happens between these four walls. Something that engages someone who might be looking for more out of life. Maybe it's a story of someone who's lonely and just finds a home here. Maybe it's a story of one of the 90-plus children who, and perhaps for the first time, come to know that there really are people who care. Maybe it's the story of someone who's lost and receives a hot meal and a lunch for the next day at supper at Grace. Or maybe it's someone through Laundry Love or any of the other outreach ministries we do here. Maybe it's the story of someone searching all their lives for a way to express their faith and found the freedom to do it here. Maybe it's someone who thought church was all about telling you what to think and instead found a place that just invites you to think. Maybe it's a story of a child who in our increasingly legalistic culture learned that on our faith, our journeys of faith, it is okay to wonder and to question and to doubt. And maybe it's just as simple as finding a place of inclusion, of welcome, of peace with the God we know knows our name. And how sad it is to miss those stories that are all around us, but even more sad to miss being a part of them. And while they may not be as dramatic as Walt Disney's stories, they are no less important. And you never know what might come of them. Maybe it's your own story. Maybe it's a story you were part of. And maybe stories that matter are so interwoven that there is no difference. Because like they say, it's a small world after all. God love you. Go make a story. Amen.